We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hayward answers down the other end, and Boston goes back up by one.
What a game.
Back and forth they go, throwing haymakers at each other.
And the Celtics are going to hold on, survive.
What a game. Celtics blew a 24-point lead. Portland with an amazing comeback. As both teams just throwing haymakers at each other with big three-pointers, but it's the Celtics that emerge victorious.
There's nothing wrong with your radio or your audio device. The big fella did just moments ago say that Marcus Smart is the most important member of the Boston Celtics, and it clearly makes no sense.
Hold on. Let me ask you this.
I love the guy. Marcus Smart makes no sense. What's more important?
A guy that makes the three-point shot to win the game, or the guy that stops the other team from making the three-point
shot
to win the game?
Tatum does far more than that.
I would say he does not.
Tatum is the one guy.
You can look at on that team. He's a one-way street. Okay, if you're gonna give him defensive credit, like Marcus Smart defensive credit, you're insane.
Well, he's not a defensive. Marcus Smart is a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. Obviously, Tatum is not. If we're going to look at all around ability,
you devalue defensive stops. He single-handedly almost won that game against the Bucks.
Christian, the most important players in the game are the top 10 players in the league. He is slightly out of that right now. He's top 15.
I think he's an opportunity.
With an opportunity to get into that top 10 and better. Once he does, that changes your fate as to compete for a championship. You need a guy like Marcus Smart, a leader, a defensive guy, a guy that's willing to throw his body out there every single night. You need that guy. He's ultra important. I'm not trying to put him down. Luce kind of put him down by calling him a little simple little role player, cute little role player. I don't think he's a cute little role player. I think he's a significant player on that team. But he's not the most important player. He's not more important than Jason Tatum.
I never said cute little. That's your phrase.
I threw that in there for you.
He is a role player, though. Yeah. He is. And he brings you a ton to help you win basketball games. But he is, okay? And I don't think he's the most important player. I think your best player is at the Stars League. It's Jason Tatum. And then, honestly, on this team, you might sit there and say Kemba Walker because his health, right? But still, if Kemba was 100% healthy, I would still say it's Tatum. And I understand the health concerns with Kemba. You need him healthy. But he is. He is a role player on a championship team because he brings you that intensity. He brings you the defense. He makes winning plays.
You're so disrespectful for what he actually does and what he's capable of doing. So Jaylen Brown sinks a big-time three-point shot.
Winning player.
Okay, Jason Tatum, they're shooting. They're making shots. And sure enough, Marcus Smart is in a similar situation in the first game against the Bucks. Doesn't get the charge. They end up overturning the play. But that, to me, was just as valuable and as important as a three-point make to win the game. They're both the same. They both have the exact same impact and outcome. But one is valued more because the other one, people go, oh, you're just a role play. Like, it's easy to do what he did. It is not. It's difficult. So she'll give Tatum and Brown extra credit for being better shooters. Go ahead.
But Tatum is more than that, okay? Because Tatum changes the pace of the game. He changes the way another team can defend the Celtics. I'm not putting Marcus Smart down. Matter of fact, I think he's the leader of that team. He's the leader of that team. You compared him to average.
So what did you notice? What did you notice that was so important that none of us other novice basketball minds saw? What did you see that was so glaring that we didn't pick up on, Glenn?
Clearing about what? On
you
the
said
game?
You had, yeah, you said you picked
oh, I think it, I think it's
it?
Obvious. I think it's obvious. It doesn't take anything to figure it all out, and that is they're going to get exploited to hell in the middle. They can't score in the middle. They can't defend in the middle. It is a major problem. So you look at Milwaukee, and you can sit there and say, okay, they competed with Milwaukee. Give me the line with Perkat after the game. What the hell was he smoking during the broadcast? This is a Perk after the game.
If Jason Tatum would have played average, they would have beat the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'm going to say this again. No top team in the Eastern Conference feared the deer. The Celtics walking out of there today is not to me. I don't believe in more of losing and the moral losses, whatever the case may they want to call it. But the Celtics are leaving that arena saying, "Oh yeah, we face these guys. We got them."
Wait, was that national TV or the Celtics post?
That was the Celtics screen team.
May surprise you.
So nobody fears the deer.
Listen, you should fear the deer because they're damn good, and they have something you don't have. They have a guy that can, in 30 minutes, give them 30 points, and if he plays 40 minutes, who knows how many he gives them. And you saw what he was able to do. He can take the ball to the hole anytime he wants. He can beat his man off that dribble, give the little Euro move, and then guess what? All you have is Daniel Tice back there, and that's not a factor. I mean, it's not a knock on Tice. He plays his ass off.
Well, I would say
that limited player.
Before opening day tip-off, I mean, we talked about interior defense.
This is it.
Right?
Same thing. Same problem.
But, I mean, this is not how they win, though. I mean, we know what it is. Tice is what he is, right? But, I mean, so the Bucks lost to Houston last night.
They did.
So I'm a center for Houston. I mean, they don't even have a big.
But you got to look at how Houston won the game. I don't know if you watched it. But Milwaukee had an 8-point lead with like 3 minutes left in the game.
They started draining threes.
They took 61 threes in the game.
Yeah.
They shot 39% overall for the night. But I wouldn't get worked up about
Portland
that in a seven-game But you're talking about a seven-game series. They can't do that for 7 games.
If they don't have the roster to beat the Bucks, I mean, I don't think that's a revelation. I don't think anybody thinks that they will. I think there's some people that think they can.
Well, you saw it in the game yesterday, didn't you, with Nurkic? And what he did, he exploited them for 30. And that was the problem.
And then you win on the wings.
And you're going to see it with Embiid. Guard. And you're going to see it with Toronto when you get Gasol and you got Ibaka and you got Siakam. That is the – and in a seven-game series, you can really key in on one thing and exploit a team. And I'm not knocking the Celtics. They have three guys that can score 20-plus. They're going to be very competitive. They're going to be in all of these games. They play really good, suffocating defense. And your guy, Marcus Smart, leads the way in that department. I think in seven-game series, they're going to have problems against any one of these teams because every one of these teams they have to go through have got bigs. It's a problem.
So, no, I agree with you on that. Because you remember the Ben Affleck movie we talked about the way back? Remember that? Because you saw it, right? You liked that movie. Lou,
I liked Affleck in the movie. He's not a great actor. He was good in that movie.
No, he was – but the movie, he coaches this basketball team of just, little runts and little guys, and he treats the basketball team like a hockey team. Hey, listen, we're going to run. We're small. We're going to have to keep going. We have to, we have to play different. To me, that's the way the Celtics will have to play. I mean, not just like the movie, but have that same mindset. We're not as big. We're not as strong. We're going to have to just do things differently. And I would not compare them to the Houston Rockets at all. I think they're better than the Houston Rockets, and I think they have – just overall, more playmakers, like tons of playmakers. And the one guy that, Lou loves the best is the one guy who I think is in the perfect position for him to be successful. And that is Gordon Hayward. He's in the perfect spot. You know why he's in the perfect spot? Because nobody's talking about him. No, he's not back anymore. He's just there. He just exists.
So we had that discussion the other day.
What discussion?
And who's more important? And the way I looked at it was more important for the success of this team throughout this playoffs, and I think it is Hayward, over Marcus Smart. That was the discussion.
Please. Hayward is this is so he's
an
soft.
Unknown.
He is the softest puppy poop.
Because he's an unknown.
He's soft, but if weak.
He's been good.
No
though,
way.
He's been good these two games. If he can play at a different level, or the level that we're accustomed, you know, we always say Gordon Hayward's back. Gordon Hayward's yeah, back. If he could be back for 2 months, then I think that elevates your team to a different level. Because I know what Marcus Smart's going to give me. He gives it to me every single time. Every single night, he gives you that effort. And we wondered, too, without fans. And obviously, that hasn't changed. And I was confident that it wouldn't change. I know what Marcus Smart gives me. The one unknown is how consistent is Gordon Hayward? Can he play at a high level? Like the guy you gave that deal to. If he can for the next 2 months, he might be we're talking about like an X-factor guy. You know, an X-factor guy. You even said it with the Patriots. You talk about the offense. It's not James White. It's not Julian Edelman. You know what you're going to get for them. It's probably not even Sanu because you know what he is. The most important guy in the offense is Harry because you have no clue.
But I think you know the X-factor.
I think you know what Gordon Hayward is.
Do you?
But absolutely.
He's different every night.
No, because
he's
of the team.
He's been inconsistent since day one.
Because of the team and how he fits in with the team. So the problem is you have three guys that can contribute 20-plus points. They're averaging 20-plus points any given night. The problem is there's not enough basketballs out there to put a fourth guy that can score 20. Because you put him on virtually any other team in the league, he's a 20-point-plus score every single night. He can also facilitate. He's a terrific passer. He's one of the better passers on that team.
Yeah.
And he can defend.
If he keeps playing at a level where he's going to get 20 and 8 boards and 6 assists, then I think you're a different club in the postseason. Yeah. That's what I think.
But I think the problem is you have too many guys that are alike on that team. Too many guys that you're relying on the same thing. That's where Christian is right. Marcus Smart gives you something totally different than what you get from Tatum, what you get from Brown, or you get from Hayward, right? Totally different.
Yeah, but Hayward, to Lou's point, because this is it's similar to what Lou's talking about, I just feel like there's no expectations for him. Nobody is sitting there saying Gordon Hayward has to be X. Like that responsibility now lies with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Kemba Walker in no particular order. It'll be different every single game. But Gordon Hayward just sits on the wings and just takes the scraps. And no one says, hey, I think that's a tough role,
guys.
I just sit back and I'm going to take the scraps. I'm going to shoot my mid-range jumper and just I'm going to be around, but you're not really going to notice me.
And when they sit there and they say Tatum's the best player in the court and they start defending that in a 7-game series, Gordon Hayward's going to have to be the guy to take pressure off of that, to force them to not have to double-team Jason Tatum because Hayward's going off too. So if he can play at a level, and I'm talking about you've seen it before with him, he takes two or three shots and it's like he's apologizing to the rest of the team, sorry, I didn't want to take your shots, he won't shoot again. He'll be that role kind of guy, whatever. But if he could take pressure off of your best player in Tatum and be a scorer as well, I think it opens up the offense even more. He's a great all-around player. But I just think sometimes he disappears and just lets the other kids go, which I understand. They're very talented. But if he's shooting the ball real well, you can't try to take Tatum out because you got to worry about Hayward. He's an unknown.
Listen, I think the problem you have with this team is you've got these wing players, and you need wing players to win NBA championships, but they have such a big, gigantic hole. And so they have a bunch of guys that are very similar to each other, and they still have a gigantic hole. So don't you eventually have to get to the point where you take some one of these guys that are all alike? Because you can do just fine maybe without one of them and deal that guy and get something in return that fills in your big hole, your big weakness, what everybody's looking at in scouting tapes and sitting there going, here's how we exploit the Boston Celtics. Right in the middle, boys. Just take the ball to the hole. And by the way, for Perk, dealing with the Milwaukee game the other night, Eric Bledsoe didn't play in that game. Eric Bledsoe's a guy that all he does is take the ball right to the hole and exploit when you don't have bigs back there that can defend.
But even last night, so you talk about Nurkic, right? Or yesterday afternoon's game. Yeah, he did. But even like I remember Scal talking about it. I was like, listen, that's what they're doing. They're just going to keep throwing it down low. They're going to post up. But good luck getting back into the game. They didn't get back into the game, Portland, because of the post play by Nurkic. They got back in the game because Lillard was hitting threes like crazy. Yeah, 11 points in the third quarter, 11 points in the fourth.
But Christian, they're doing it because of the threat of Nurkic down low. So what happens is you got to take your defense and alter it to pick up on him, and that just opens people in the wings. It's the same thing with Bledsoe. I think they're much better with Bledsoe because he drives the ball to the hole and kicks it back to wide open guys like Middleton.
Christian, who covered Lillard?
First of all, he didn't cover him the entire time, and he got screwed on a couple calls. The refs are out to get Marcus Smart. The refs are out to get Marcus Smart is right. The refs are out to get him. Did you see the foul that they called on Marcus Smart when Damian Lillard tried to go up, went up for that 3-point play? Didn't touch him. And then Marcus Smart, he knows he's a marked man. That's another reason why. He takes that burden on his shoulder. You need a bad guy? I'll be the bad guy. You need me to draw attention away from you? Jason Tatum, poor little Gordon Hayward, little bunny rabbit out there. No, but don't say anything mean to Gordon Hayward. Oh, my God. You're right, Lou.
He's been good this year. He was
the best
good
thing about
year.
It. And
but
Gordon,
if he's playing
nobody,
at very high levels,
and nobody
team.
Thinks... Nobody's expecting you to do anything, so you have no pressure. So go produce. Go ahead. Go. Do something.
Marcus also got, a $15,000 fine this weekend? He had to pay $15,000. By the way, that was not a charge. That was a block.
No, we can discuss that at a later
date. He didn't set his feet. I don't blame him for bitching about it because he's right. Giannis gets all the breaks in the world as superstars.
His excuse was lame, but...
Yeah, but he's right that the superstars get all the breaks. I don't think he got 8 fouls, but okay, might have got an extra one in there. Wiggy's got an answer for that problem that I was just talking about. We're going to get to that. Plus, the Red Sox had a rough weekend in New York. We'll get to all of that coming up as well right here on OMF.
Mudded Night, weeknight 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
If you've been waiting for in-person weekly coaching, you're in luck because all Awaken 180 weight loss locations have reopened. They're now accepting new clients. Awaken180weightloss.com.
Red Sox in the night off. Sox and Rays begin the first of two from Tampa tomorrow night. Coverage begins at 5:40 in the Shaws. And Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network, a 6:40 first pitch tomorrow night. Patrice Bergeron, the only Bruin missing from practice today, just a maintenance day according to him and Bruce Cassidy. Tuukka Rask missed yesterday's game against the Flyers. Halak was in goal, and Tuukka said today, quote, "I had a cough, so I just clicked yes on the app, then all kinds of red lights started blinking.
Sure did.
So I was quarantined for 2 days. They wanted to get 2 negative tests after that."
Well, hold on.
Too much for that.
He did say that he still has a cough, but he's passed. He has 2 negative tests. Now, would you guys, if you see Tuukka Rask coughing around, and you know he's got 2 negative tests,
sorry,
would you
Craig,
still kind of be
it.
A little nervous?
No, I think the yes. more important thing is
yes, hell yes.
The guys are sitting there saying, "I got a cough or I got a headache," or, you know, and you, they're not going to sit there and hit it on their app because they don't want to miss games now for a cough.
Yeah, every time
or a headache
I saw him or
short
heard
throat.
Him cough, I think I'd be
they're
like,
not going to do it.
Where's your mask? Get out of here. I'm not sick.
why would if it's a big game and it's a playoff game now, and we're going to get into the playoffs here. Why would you ever do that? Why would you ever go to your team and sit there and say, "I think I got a problem here"? What do you mean you got a problem? It's game 7 tonight. What the hell are we talking
They're
about?
Not going to
nope.
do it.
Nope, not doing it.
Some interesting comments from Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham, who does not think the NFL should play this fall, telling this to the Wall Street Journal 2 weeks ago, saying, quote, "Obviously, with everything that's going on, it does not make sense why we're trying to do this. We're not ready for a football season, so why are we trying to push forward? It's obviously for their money. I just feel like the season shouldn't happen, and I'm prepared for it to not happen. And I wouldn't mind it not having it."
Yeah, but that was...
And now he will reportedly not opt out, so despite those comments.
Yeah, but I saw that. So this is before he actually went into the facility and saw how clean and how great the protocols were. So he changed his mind.
Well, they must have changed the money policy that he was talking about, right? That must have changed.
Yeah. And finally, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has bought the XFL before it was going to bankruptcy.
Why?
$15 million, Dwayne, and his ex-wife are business partners in buying the XFL. Yes.
Christian, would you ever do? No, I'm not going to ask the question.
I could ask you the same, but I think we both know what the answer is. But I mean, see, what do you do with that commodity? What do you do with that asset?
Nothing. You own the branding of it, and would you call it a solid brand.
Isn't it kind of worthless?
Yes.
I feel like he just
bought... What did he pay for it, Tyler? 15?
15 million, yes.
Why? I feel like he just bought stock at Enron or something. And somebody convinced him, this will be worth nothing someday.
Has he been watching Amazon stock lately? He should put the 15 million there. What is he thinking?
Yeah. Maybe that's a sign of what he really thinks about his ex-wife.
Amazing.
I'm Tyler Devitt, and that's what's trending at WEIWEI.com.
All brought to you by Dana Farber and the Brigham and Women's Cancer Center, where everyone on your team specializes in your type of cancer and works to create a personalized care plan for you, a plan focused on keeping you safe and defeating your cancer. Learn more at youhaveus.org.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Back to more Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier. Bring it back. You even consider listening to anything else?
No.
OMF.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I almost think that you have to trade Kemba Walker.
Stop it. He just got here. What are you trading him for?
Do you feel like this team...
This is hot. This is too hot.
Do you feel like this team can win an NBA title? Because remember, it's all about winning a title.
That's what it's all about.
Can they win a title with Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker as your 1-2?
This may sound like I'm drinking the green Kool-Aid just a little bit. Yes, they can. Super teams no longer exist. Now, they could at some point. It's all about duos.
When you talk about elite duos, it's...
Hang on.
Wait.
Can I
Yours isn't even in the top five.
Can I finish?
Poor Rich Keefe had a rough day with Wiggy just going at him there. I know they can't win with those two guys, Rich. They can't. So is Wiggy that crazy when he looks at that roster and he says, they're good, they're fun, maybe they're a cute little team, maybe they're better than a cute little team, but the whole object here is to win a championship. Can they win with this roster, or do they have to deal somebody away? And he claims Kemba Walker is the guy you deal.
I guess if you're going to deal somebody, sure, I'm fine with that. I mean, I don't think anyone's really emotionally attached to Kemba Walker, because when I look at Kemba Walker, when I see his role is, if they're going to have a guy take a final shot, it's not necessarily Kemba, it's yours. I think it could be one or three of them. It could be Jalen, it could be Tatum, or it could be Kemba. But I really feel like Kemba is like that big brother mentor type guy. You guys shine. You guys go ahead and get yours. You know, I'm going to defer as much as I need to, because the development and growth of you guys is more important than me. And if I need to make the last shot because you guys can't or you're cold, then I'll take over. But ultimately, I almost feel like he's in third position when it comes to making the last shot as far as between those two guys. Those two guys, Tatum and Brown, have elevated themselves confidence-wise, just, you know, maturity-wise, and they'll be taking the shot before Kemba Walker was. So if you want to trade somebody, trade Kemba. That's fine with me. I'm not, like, attached to that guy any way, shape, or form. He hasn't proven anything to me, but I don't think it has anything to do with his health. I think he's fine. I think he's healthy. I think his minutes will go up. I don't think he's going to miss any games. I think he'll be playing just as much as Tatum as Brown in the playoffs. Because I don't believe the whole injury thing.
I don't think Kemba's the guy. You mentioned it before. You know, Gordon Hayward, as far as moving forward goes, he's redundant, right? He is. I mean, yep. I'm just saying, with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum kind of continue to take the step forward. You know, you got Kemba Walker, you know, as the point, or even Marcus Smart as the point, him at the two. Whatever you need to do, whatever you feel, the offense works better. So, you know, Gordon Hayward's money coming off the books. I don't know whether you can move him or whatever it is, but, you know, you're talking about moving to Gordon Hayward and Kemba and improving this roster. Like, who are we talking about? Who does that? Karl Anthony Towns? You know, like, Anthony Davis is out of the mix. Are we just bringing in a big that could just a body to defend? Lose a player? I don't think Kemba Walker trading him is the answer.
But I think they are, well, at least I don't think they have a choice to be, but to be committed to the style of basketball based on the personnel they have. It is small ball, we're going to shoot, we are going to run, we're going to defend the best we can, but ultimately, it's 100 and something to 100 and something. There's no, like, you know, under 100 games unless both teams just go flat out cold.
So what you become is you become a good regular season team, and then when it gets to the postseason where you can exploit a weakness, you get exploited. And, you know, listen, I think you said it, Christian, the emergence of Tatum and Jaylen Brown, because I think we all agree that they have both moved up on that list, Tatum leading the way right now, and you got to deal with his contract. I don't know why he redoes a deal in this offseason. He should wait till next year where he can make more money, but then you've got the uncertainty of what he does at that point. You've got redundancy here, and you have a gigantic hole. You're not going to be able to draft, I don't believe, unless you get really lucky, the replacement in that big hole. I look at the East right now, and guess what? They all play big. Milwaukee plays big. Toronto plays big. Philadelphia plays big. Next year, Brooklyn is going to play big. They have got, KD. They've got Kyrie. They've got a good young center in Jared Allen. They've got Caris LeVert. That's going to be a legitimate contending team in the East. So don't you have to go out and get a big? And how do you do that without dealing somebody of significant money and of significant talent? The one thing I disagree with on Wiggy says, I don't think the knee's healthy, and maybe they got to deal him away with the knee. Well, you don't think other teams have doctors? They're going to check him out.
See, I don't know.
You're not dealing him if the knee's bad.
I don't know why they decided to do it this way, but I get it. He played 22 minutes the other day. You know, Tatum played 39, Brown 36, Hayward 34. In the next couple games, he will be back up to a playoff minutes, like, you know, the restriction will be off. He'll be at 30-plus minutes. I mean, I don't know why they were so unbelievably cautious. Maybe they're playing the long game. Like, why risk it when we'll just go through our own little protocol, what we set up? But do you guys actually believe this guy's going to be on a minutes restriction when the real playoffs start?
He can't.
No, he's not going to be. He's already at 24.
He's either healthy for 36 minutes or 34 minutes, or he's not. And we're going to find that out.
What worries me is that when, you know, you go out there and you play, 18 game one or whatever it was, 17, 18, then 22, and it's like, how you feel? You feel good. Okay, good. We can go to 28, you know, we can get you up to 30. And I feel like when it starts to get up in that 30 to 35 range, you know, because playoff time, you want your stars to play in that range. Then it's like, okay, what's it feel like after the second or third game you've played like that? You know, when it's every other night. The NBA playoffs, you know, this year's not going to be, you know, play on a Thursday, play on a Wednesday. I mean, play on a Tuesday. You know, I mean, sometimes they have 3 days off in between. Hell, sometimes four. It's ridiculous. Not so much this year. So, yeah, I worry more about if he's playing. And you're like, you always got to worry about him with this knee thing. 3.5 months.
But
he's still in limit restriction. Yeah.
But I think you do need him playing significant minutes, and you want to have a shorter bench in all of this. I know people love Brad Wanamaker the other night, and he has some moments out there in the floor. I'll give you that, or Ojeleye. But you can't play them for long periods of time in big playoff games, or they'll get exploited. You can't do that. You've got a core here, and your core can score at will. That's the one thing you've got going for your team. Plus, you can go out there and you can make threes. You have a team that can burn another team because you don't have that presence inside. They can burn another team by shooting 38-40% from 3-point territory. You got to go with it, and you got to do it. But I didn't think what Wiggy said was that outrageous, and Keith was like, oh, my God. Well, really, are they a contender right now to win a championship? Right now?
No.
Okay. How do they get better next year when you know that already you're going to have another team in the conference getting better, and you still have significant young talent on those other teams? It's not like they're old players ready to retire. How do you get better? You got to change the roster. You got to do something about it. Red Sox had a rough weekend in New York. You kind of expected that. Ryan Weber on Friday and then two of those openers Saturday and Sunday. But we'll tell you why today may be the most significant day on the Red Sox schedule. We'll do that coming up next right here on OMF.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Import, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron, at the start of the year, you talked about how there would maybe be some urgency to some decisions, more so than in a longer season. I know it's only two turns through, but Brian's inability to get into the fifth either time, does that make you rethink his spot in the rotation at this point?
Well, not really. I mean, who do we have that we can say that we're going to put in that's going to be better than Ryan?
That summarizes the 2020 Boston Red Sox.
Ron Renneke on Friday night. That is unbelievable.
Who do we have?
He's correct.
Who do we have that's better than Ryan Weber?
He doesn't.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah. No, he's totally right. And you saw it over the weekend. I mean, men amongst boys. I give it to the Red Sox last night. They hit. And so they get into one of those high-scoring games, and we've said it all along, that's the only way they're going to win games. Unfortunately, they lost that one because the Yankees are just a slightly better lineup, a little bit more power in their lineup, but oh, my God.
Ryan Weber, hold on just for a second. Is that – he has an 11.57 ERA?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I mean, is he just kind of – who are we going to be fine?
Do we have that we can say that we're going to put in that's going to be better than Ryan?
I feel like that's John Henry's, like, not many people can say you have 10 points. 10%
it's unfortunately,
body fat.
It's just the truth. I mean, you know, Evaldi's throwing the ball real well. I mean, what happens when Evaldi kind of
comes
gives
up a little
up?
Twinge in his shoulder or whatever?
Or just, you know, like, listen, the guy's not exactly Pedro. You know, no. It's not like he's going to go out there every single night and go six strong, give up one run or no runs or two runs or whatever and win a ball game. You know what I mean?
Like, see him against a good lineup, you're right.
Well, this guy, I mean, yeah, the Mets are okay, but still, he threw well. But
no, the Mets are,
he's going to give it up at some point. Perez, he's out there flipping 90 miles an hour. He located well, but it's just this. I mean, what did you think was going to happen going into New York? Ryan Weber, Godley, in a bullpen.
It was kind of – last night's game was –
last night's game was fun.
It was fun, exactly. Because I eventually knew
– Bogart said
it
was fun.
It was – yeah, because it was a back and forth. There was a bunch of lead changes. He played great, obviously. So you're sitting there going, wow, all right, we're still in this thing. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, that's what I knew was coming. The inevitable – is bound to kind of rear its ugly head.
Yeah, speaking of knowing what's coming, Matt Barnes. It is amazing to me watching him pitch. First, number one, he takes about 6 minutes to throw a pitch. So, like, every time he pitches, it's the most stressful thing in the world because he takes forever to throw it. And, you know, you're sitting there, and if you're a hitter, he's got a very good curveball, but when you throw it every freaking pitch, it ain't that good. 2-0, you're sitting on a curveball? Why wouldn't you? Who wouldn't sit on a curveball 2-0? He's only got two pitches, and he's scared to throw one of them. He's afraid of contact. He feels like he throws his curveball, and he won't do much damage. Well, unless you hang it to Judge. And then he hits it to freaking, I don't know where.
Space.
It's just, it's a two, he doesn't have a third pitch. At least Workman threw his cutter the other night and got him out of, you know, threw, looked good against some of the Mets in that game. He looked good with the cutter because he's got a third pitch. This guy is scared to throw his fastball. All he wants to do is throw his curveball. And to be honest with you, I think they got him anyways, the Yankees. I think they got him. So if I already know when one pitch is coming, I know when both is coming. Like, I think he's tipping. You know, some teams can pick it, some teams can't. And they obviously are very good at it. And he's so predictable. It's so frustrating to watch. It's like, dude, have some confidence. I know his fastball's down a little bit, but he's always been scared to throw that thing.
So I wonder if people have gone by the frustration point of all of this. I mean, you can't even get frustrated. Matt Barnes, when the game was over yesterday, by the way, made some comment about, I think we're capable of winning 30 of the next 40. What? You're not. You might be 10 and 30 in the next 40. All right? They're just not really good.
On pace for 18.
But there is some good stuff in there. I mean, Christian Vasquez, from an offensive standpoint, is picking up where he left off in the second half of last year. Terrific. So, and you're seeing Devers make some great plays down at third, obviously. Boga, there's some positive stuff. But let's face it, this is a year that you write off. All you want to do is get to August 31st, which brings me, and that it was the most important date in this Red Sox season on the schedule, is August the 31st. I would say the second most significant day is today. Now, why do I say that? Because they're in Tampa, and I'm looking at the schedule, and there's no game schedule. I repeat, they are in Tampa, one of the hot spots right now, with no game.
It's a nice pool.
You can't go in the pool. As Bogart said this weekend, we can't have the team dinners. We can't get together. We can't do any of this stuff. You're telling me that you're not fearful that one or two or three guys aren't going to sneak out in the in the back door? What's that strip joint in Tampa called? What is it called?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, luckily, they're nowhere near Tampa. I mean, they're in St. Pete. You know what I mean?
So a lot of old people
they can
Pete.
Go there. But, yeah. I mean, there's a few things around there they can get out at night. But, yeah, I would agree. It's kind of weird. Like, I'm wondering, because Tampa Bay right now has got a two-game set with the Red Sox, and they play the Yankees at home over the weekend. Why are you even in Tampa?
Shouldn't be there.
Like, why don't you just play here at Fenway?
Doesn't make a difference.
Why don't you
just
go up and play New York?
Right.
You know, I know for them it would suck. They're on the road a whole lot, but you honestly.
Hell, Toronto doesn't have a home.
I think being on the road is probably better. You know, I don't know. It sounded like the guys enjoyed going to New York, you know, especially the Mets. I know they won a couple games, but just being out on the road together every once in a while. It's so strange. These guys show up at the ballpark and they go up to their luxury box suite and they get dressed and they come down. They just never see each other. You know, I was listening to Bogarts, and he's right. You know, like, you go on the road, there's no team dinners, there's no sitting in the locker room, there's no playing cards, dominoes, or whatever. Just kind of hanging out with one another. It's just, there's none of it whatsoever. But I'm just wondering why the Marlins are home, why Tampa's home. Just, what's the difference?
Well, I think you're going to have to wait until another team tests positive. I can tell you this, that the St. Louis Cardinals, which were scheduled to get back playing, they did not play this weekend. This from Mark Saxton, who is the beat reporter for The Athletic. They are not traveling to Detroit.
The Marlins screwed everything up.
Yeah.
They screwed up everything. Right. They had a positive test on a Friday. They had three more on Sunday. They made a mistake and they played, right? Because they had four positive tests. The next morning they woke up, and ever since, it's now up to, like, whatever it was, 18.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden there's a new protocol in the MLB. I didn't realize this. So if you have a player or two positive, you shut down games.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I thought we weren't doing that.
I didn't think you were. That was it. If a guy's, I'm reading the protocol. If a guy's positive, you take him out. You know, and you quarantine him, and then you continue to play. But they did, two guys positive. And they canceled games.
Yeah, this is
they're getting scared.
Because of what happened with the Marlins.
They're getting scared.
And an outbreak.
The Marlins completely
If the Marlins never
out.
Happened, does St. Louis Cardinals cancel games?
No, I think they're overreacting. It's mostly staff members. I think there are three players and four staff members now, the latest count, and they're not going to play all week. So think about it. They're going to have to make up 7 or 8 games. So when are they going to play those games, those doubleheaders? I mean, this is going to be crazy. So I brought this up on Friday. I just don't see, and Munt totally disagreed, I don't see how Major League Baseball makes it through the end of the season, guys. I don't, and I'm sitting here just praying they get to August 31st for the Red Sox.
Did you see that Mike Trout's coming back?
Yes.
Yes.
So, okay, so his wife just had a baby, so he's deciding, but they're terrible right now. I don't know why he's even bothering, but whatever. But I think that's just another sign of just how you just have to be willing to roll with the punches. So the protocol was one way in the beginning. The Marlins screwed it up.
They screwed it up.
It was
huge.
Probably a good thing because it didn't it kind of show you how quickly it could spread? So, hey, taking one guy out probably was the wrong idea. So if one guy has it, probably 15 guys have it.
So this is what I'm just saying. This is where it's at now, right? So the Cardinals had a couple of players, and they had three traveling members of the traveling party. So the Red Sox PR guy is positive. Now we just the Red Sox game is postponed for tonight.
That's what they're doing.
Did you think that was the way it's going to be?
No, he said just the opposite. No, I'm just saying, everybody said the opposite.
Like in the NFL, a player gets tested positive. You find out on Friday. No game on Sunday? Or do we take the player out? I thought we were taking the player out. But what happened with the Marlins, there was a huge outbreak. But was there an outbreak? Or did it just take an extra time for the guys who have it to kind of to show up that they have it, right?
Well, like
which is what happens. But still, is that the new protocol? One player has it on Friday, NFL's canceled.
Well, I would say, okay, that's a great theory. I would not even say a great theory. It is a theory, but it's an even bigger possibility that that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But you don't know.
Marlins players went out.
Unless you have immediate testing with immediate results, that's the only way you're going to be able to decipher who has it, where'd it go, how'd you catch it, how long did it take.
But you can't do that.
No, but you can't. To me, it's like, so I don't think there's any chance in hell, you know, Manfred's like threatening to, you know, just shut the league down and shut it down and, you know, we're done. This is crazy. I don't think he has the balls to do it. I think he'd rather sit here and you know, cherry pick which teams will play, which teams won't play, you know, and by the end of the season, whoever is left playing, whoever is capable of playing, fielding a team, is going to be in the playoffs.
But see, this is where the Marlins, man, they screwed this whole thing up. Again, did it run rapid? In other words, somebody had it on Friday. Well, did he give it to 3 others? Who gave it to 12 others? Or did they all just have it on Thursday? And it took a couple of days for them to for it to come up in a test, right? Because somebody tweeted at me, like Juan Soto with the Nationals. He came out positive. They took him out of the lineup opening day. No other Nationals are positive. None of them. They took the player out, which is what I thought everyone was going to do. But once the Marlins happened,
changed it.
And you had two Cardinals, it was like, we got to take everybody
out. Yeah.
Because, you know, tomorrow it's going to end up being 10, it's going to be 15.
And there are going to be more teams here.
Right.
Because
so we go,
you're
then,
on a bubble.
But then we go back to, okay, well, how many players are positive before you shut down a game? Because I remember thinking, you know, when you saw what happened with the Marlins, you had 4 guys testing 2 days positive, they probably should have shut that game down for a day.
Well, they shut the Cardinals down with 2 players.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, 2 players.
And they're going to end up making up 7 games now.
Yeah, but the fear is that those 6 people or 7 people now could pass it along to the other guys, and then you're putting the other team they're playing in danger. So
that's how we do it with sports. One player gets it. She might as well just say 1 then. Because what the hell is the difference between 1 or 2? I mean, if one guy gets it, then you could wake up tomorrow and find out 4 guys have it and wake up the next day to find out 10 guys have it. So if one guy has it, we shut down the games. And if that's the case, then I'm on your side, Glenn. They will shut this season down at some point.
I don't think they're going to make it, Lou. And I think you already saw it, the commissioner kind of telling the networks. And the Fox broadcast, by the way, has been terrific. I think the virtual fans, the sound effects are better than anything I've heard yet. It really is a good broadcast, considering it's all fake. But I just don't think it's going to last. I think in the end, Manfred's going to have to give in. He's already told them, think of alternative programming. He's trying to fight through this thing. But let's face it, we know Rob Manfred. Okay, I'm not sure there's a left one, never mind a right one. So this is Ron Renicky talking about his guys tonight in Tampa on the loose.
we are talking about different cities and who's at more at risk in doing things in the different areas. And New York right now has done a good job. So, you know, we don't want them to obviously to just go out and just, you know, be in a normal time. But, you know, you may be okay walking to a place there differently than maybe you do in Florida. Maybe you just try to stay in the hotel, which is what we've told them we'd like them to do, is just stay there. We'll have the food for them. We'll have a big room for them to get their treatments from the medical staff, and making them more aware of the places that have are more at risk than others.
So I would say this, if a single player, and they can't even go to the pool, by the way, if a single player leaves his room down in Tampa over the next couple of days, shame on him, right? Shame
on him. Yeah, unfortunately. You know, I mean, seriously, this is when you know what, bring Fortnite with you on the road.
Yeah.
Play Fortnite. I mean, do whatever. Stay in your room. This is from Mark Saxon, who writes for The Athletic and covers the Cardinals. This was just recently. He said, first off, the Cardinals are not going to Detroit, which is their next destination. He says, most likely to make up at least 7 games. But 3 minutes ago, I can confirm at least 8 positives. Of those, 6 are players. One source said the number is 13.
14.
We're done.
13. I'm telling you, we're done. So now you've got the Marlins and the Cardinals. So again, you need to find out that, you know.
I say no, Glenn.
Did it just randomly happen?
They're not going to make
it. With two teams irresponsible.
Well, hold on. It doesn't mean that you have to make it with all 4 tires intact. I mean, I literally see them limping their way like an old beat up car that was in a race that had a bunch of wrecks.
They're limping in
week
2.
Okay, so big deal. Big deal. It is a big deal.
Okay,
so
a long way to go.
What's going on with the Red Sox? Nothing. What's going on with the Yankees? Nothing. What's going on with there's
2.
A bunch of other teams. Okay, so did anyone think that they would have no outbreaks? Were you so optimistic? You thought there would be no
everybody thought
whatsoever.
Everybody thought there was going to be positive.
What happens when? Here it is. What happens when? It's happening right before your eyes.
John Heyman, 7 Cardinals have tested positive for COVID, 6 staff members. So there's your 13, as Saxon kind of hinted towards.
Okay, so six staff members. Let's not
7 players.
Sit there and just freak out.
Okay, can I bring this up? I understand that the NBA and the NHL are in a bubble. Not a single positive test, by the way, in the National Hockey League. But you guys tell me. We know going into this, there was real hostility back and forth. The players finally said, yeah, okay, go ahead. Just give us the date. Tell us when to report, and we'll be there for the game, right? It was really nasty because it was all about money. I'm wondering, after all of that bitching about finding a financial arrangement, if the players are really committed to making this work right now, if you're taking off in the middle of a season when everybody's telling you how serious this is and you're all running off to the strip joint or you're all running off to the casino, all right, you're not really taking it seriously.
No.
But part of that could be that the players had a hair across their ass to begin with. They were pissed off at what the owners were forcing them to do and the pay that they were getting.
Is that possible? I think it's possible, but I think it's more of these players, especially in the case of the Marlins. With a lot of young players, they go on their first trip to Atlanta, and they made the big league team, and they're all excited, and they want to go out and celebrate. So they go and act irresponsibly. The Cardinals, would they go to the casino? You know, whatever. So some of the Cardinals went to a casino. So, I mean, yeah, you've got 2 teams, and you sit there and say, guys, you know, no going out at bars. No going to the casino. We got a couple of months. You know, we got to get through this thing. So what do you do if one more team or 2 more teams acts irresponsibly and goes out at night, and you got 4 teams that are missing 10 days, 10 games? Like, how do you do it? Do you just say, well, screw it? I mean, you're done.
Yeah, but I think that the issue is going to be, if you're going to be right, Glenn, if you think they're Dunsky, think they're Major Dunsky. League Baseball is Dunsky.
Yeah, I said it
I
Friday.
Would say the cause is going to be teams like Pittsburgh. Teams like the Diamondbacks, teams like the Angels, teams like the Red Sox, who are relatively done. They don't have a shot, even though the Red Sox are technically a couple games behind the Indians and the Tigers, who are 5-5. But whatever, so they're still in it in the wild card hunt. But when you get down, when August is done, and schools are starting to go back, or they're talking about going back, and these teams are 1,000% out of it. Do you really think they're going to be as disciplined as they was week 1 as they
it's
are
be
week
worse.
7?
No.
No freaking way.
So, epidemiologist from Emory University, Zach Binney, had this to say. Okay, so obviously this is an outbreak, talking about the Cardinals. The Cardinals should be shut down for at least a week, probably two. That seems to be what Major League Baseball is doing right now. This was in the Central Division, so completely separate from the Marlins. My nightmare scenario. This is veering quickly into shut all of MLB down territory for me.
Well, I mean, first off, he's just, I don't know the connection between, it was, you know, Eastern Division, Central Division. So they didn't get it from the Marlins. Is that
right.
his point?
He's saying that they didn't contract it from another team.
You know, you've got two
teams.
So
it's their behavior.
You've got two teams with players going out.
Right.
So it's real simple. The players can't be disciplined enough to get through a season. It's on them. If the season shuts down, it's on the players.
It is.
What happened already is the fault of the Miami Marlins acting irresponsibly. Same thing with the Cardinals. So, again, you know, you're hoping that there's not a team out there that's like, damn, you know, before we didn't learn our lesson. Before the Cardinals outbreak, we were all out last Thursday. And all of a sudden now, in the middle of this week, they find out that they're positive.
Yeah.
So if these guys can stay in and do what they're supposed to do, then you could be okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't relate the two. I would just say you got two irresponsible teams that went out at night. One went to a casino, one to a club.
But if it's happened to two, how do we trust the others? And as Christian just said.
Well, the Phillies are all negative.
Okay, but
they played the Marlins all weekend long.
Right.
The Marlins had 18 players, for Christ's sakes, that are positive. Nobody in the Phillies.
So what that tells you, Lou, is they're not contracting it from the team out in the field. Even though they're in close contact, they're not contracting it. They're contracting it when they go outside their, you know, invisible bubble.
But they don't have a bubble, right? My point is that if you can't contract it on the field with 18 players and nobody in the Phillies, so why wouldn't you just go back to what you were talking about? All right, you know what? You got six players in the Cardinals. Take them off the roster. Put six new ones on.
I would.
And just play don't Detroit, Major League because Detroit apparently is okay.
Yeah.
No big deal. Phillies are fine.
I would have done the same thing with the Marlins. I said it last week that I would have, you know, bring on other players. You know, you just find anybody. Buster Olney was talking about that they were going to put minor league players or anybody off the street. Just give Marlin uniforms and throw them out there like they were replacement players. I wouldn't have a problem, but I think Christian just nailed it. As we find the teams start drifting out of any playoff competition and they know they're out of contention, what are they going to do at night after that? I would be worried about that. So we throw it out to you. Did the coronavirus call Rob Manfred's bluff? And if this is how National Football League's going to do it, we've already had two quarterbacks now test positive. What do they have ahead for them? This past hour has been brought to you by the Jimmy Fund.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.